This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Family Frankel, the Kovetz Simchas Nesuin, Moshe Meyer, and Gila Frankel, Hayom. Zayin Shvat, Wednesday the 8th of January, Rabbi Eli Pick, Creating an Impression.
When I was trying to buy an esrog recently before Sukkos, there was another man there in the shop who was eyeing a very beautiful esrog. Asked me what I thought about it. It was a really nice esrog. But he was hesitating. So I said, why are you hesitating? It's beautiful. He said, well, it costs £80. And, you know, in my shul, I have to create an impression. People ask me how much money I spent. I want to tell them that I spent £200. So I said to him, all right, I can help you. I can do you a favor. I'll buy it for 80 and I'll then sell it to you for 200. I wonder what his attitude would have been had he wanted to create an impression in other ways. I mean, let's say the other way round. Let's say you're taking your esrog at home and you're eating your morah in shul. I'm wondering whether he might have behaved differently in the way he spent his money. So clearly this guy was a show-off. He wanted to create an impression. But there are times when a person wants to be machmir in something and doesn't really want to create impressions in others. That person wants to feel as though he's in a routine and it might feel monotonous. He wants to do a bit of more and he wants to dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he wants to be machmir. He says, I want to get greater dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wants to spend longer time on his davening the Shemone Esra. He wants to bow down for every bracha in the Shemone Esra. He wants to light his menorah outside his front door. He wants to walk around all day long on Sukkos with his lulav in his hand. He wants to stand up for the Shema. He wants to stand up for the whole day on Yom Kippur. What is the issue there? If a person wants to do something where he genuinely feels that he's not interested in what other people think, I want to do it for myself because I want to become tamimistic. What is the situation in halacha? Where do we strike that sort of balance? He says, look, I'm not showing off. I'm just trying to do what I can in my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It makes me feel better. So is that right or is it wrong? Now Rabbeinu Yonah praises those people who want to be machmir in many things. In the very first mission of Pekei Avos, where it talks about the siyog laTorah, Rabbeinu Yonah says, I praise those who are machmir, those who create precautions, or shemateh es mishmarti. And he says, it's siyog hu dovah gadol meshuvach. Somebody who makes a siyog laTorah, it's a great thing, it's a praiseworthy thing, and it's a gedel mitzvah, it's a protection. And he says it's more proof of a person's yiras shemayim than doing the mitzvah itself, because doing the mitzvah itself is part of the mechanical routine, a person feels he has to do it. But if a person is machmir, that shows he's got his yiras shemayim. So what if a person does a mitzvah publicly where he could have done it privately? Maybe the publicity encourages him to do the mitzvah, gives him greater zerizus and hislavos, and it sets an example to other people that they might follow with peer pressure and do the mitzvah as well. Or do we say no, he should still do it privately because if he does it publicly, it may give him gaiva. Certainly we know what will be said about him one day after 120 years at his hesped. He gave tzedakah, he did wonderful things, and they're all mitzvahs. Certainly you'll never hear at a hesped somebody being praised because he had a personalized car number plate. But you will hear about the mitzvahs and mice in Tobin which a person did, and inevitably these are the things which everybody knows about. So I might say, look, I'm giving tzedakah publicly because I want to encourage other people. I'm not doing it for any self-gratification. And if I set an example, then other people will follow. On the other hand, shteit in posuk, hatznei leches im Hashem lo kechel. One should go with sneers in a hidden way and in a modest way. And what if I'm learning intensively? I learn late at night and the other people see me. I want them to follow my example. And, you know, if I'm going to be giving a shiur on Torah away, maybe I'm a show-off. On the other hand, it's Talmud Torah. We have to have people teaching Torah. Or if a person is able to do it, ki lekach notzata, that's what a person is created for. So a person can't say, I'm doing it because I want to create an impression in others. I'm doing it because that's what the Torah expects of me. But I shouldn't get gaiva as a result of it. So Rav Mordechai Soson, a mekubal from Baghdad, writes in his Sefer Dovah Be'ito, he says, if I do these things out of haughtiness and pride, or some other ulterior motive, or to attract praise, Ein lecho aveiro gadola mizu. There is no greater aveiro than that. So, therefore, we're getting to see that this is not such a wonderful thing to do things publicly. So we've got a number of Gemaras on the subject, which we'll have a brief look at. The Gemara in Pesachim Samach Vov talks about Hillel, who was Darish Barabim, on the halachas of Erev Pesach falling on Shabbos. People didn't know what to do, so he became the Nasi as a result, and he felt very good from it. He felt, oh wow, that was fantastic. And because he felt elated by what he had done, Chochmah was taken away from him as a punishment. And the same with Nevuah. Devorah, Nevuah, she felt some haughtiness, she felt proud that nobody had before done what she had achieved, and as a result of that, Nevuah was taken away from her. Rashi says she was showing off, she was glorifying herself. And that's why the Pasuk afterwards has to say, Uri, Uri, Devorah. And there's a story in the Ovest Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel, they were being put to death by the Romans. So they asked each other, Shimon Gamliel said, you know, did I do anything wrong? Did I break Shabbos? What have I done to deserve this punishment of death by the Romans? And then he recalled, I gave a drosha on Har HaBayis, and afterwards people came up to me and gave me such fantastic praise. Wow, I felt good from that. Now we know why we're being killed. So don't come up to me afterwards unless it's just a question. There is a story that in Sefas, the Ari HaKadosh, an amazing Kehillah, they had the Alshech, who was the Darshan, the Ari HaKadosh was the Mekubal, and the Beis Yosef was the Halachist, the Sefer Charedim was the Shamus of the Shul, an amazing Kehillah, and once the Alshech was giving a drosha, and the Ari HaKadosh walked out in the middle, and his Talmidim said to him, why did you walk out? He said the Alshech was enjoying himself so much when he was giving his drosha, that it was no longer, I felt, Lashem Shemayim. But that there with the Alshech wasn't haughtiness and pride. He was enjoying his Talmud Torah. You know, as I heard from Rabbi Yonah Balkin, the Kohen Aruch of this story, he said, let's do the same Aveira that the Alshech did and enjoy our learning, and we should all transgress like the Alshech. It's not haughtiness and pride to enjoy one's learning. But the question is, how do we strike this balance? So the Gemara Brochus Yud Zayin talks about a chosan is posa from Kriyas Shema. A chosan, the newlywed, he's a bit nervous, and he is posa from Kriyas Shema on his wedding night because he can't concentrate properly. So what if a person says, and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said the Shema on his wedding night, he said, I can't depart from Ol Malchus Shemayim. I cannot do something to keep me away from this important thing. But if a person who is a chosan says, I will always have the right kavanah, it doesn't affect me, therefore I will say the Kriyas Shema. So what do we say? He's displaying arrogance. He is displaying a sense of self-importance. He's going beyond the letter of the law. And therefore it is wrong. The Gemara in Pesachim also talks about Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. There in Daf Nun Dalet it talks about halachas of Tisha B'Av. And then, Daf Nun Dalet, it's a custom, where it's a custom to work on Tisha B'Av, you can work. And if it's a custom not to go to work on Tisha B'Av, then you don't go to work. And then it says, but a Talmid Chacham does not go to work on Tisha B'Av. So, the question is one a Talmid Chacham or not? So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, make yourself as though you are a Talmid Chacham. Don't go to work on Tisha B'Av. So isn't Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel encouraging, both in our Gemara in Brochus with a Chosan, and also with Pesachim regarding Tisha B'Av, isn't he encouraging in people a rather holier-than-thou attitude? So maybe it's different there, because with the Shema, others might not realize, they don't watch your lips moving, maybe they don't realize it's not such a public thing whether you're saying the Shema or not saying the Shema. And on the ninth of Av, Tisha B'Av, okay, if you don't go to work, it might simply be because you're lazy. It might be because you're unemployed. So therefore, there's no really Yohara, a shining light, someone who's showing off. Therefore, it's not such a problem. Yohara, or shining gem, is the terminology used for somebody who is doing something which will be seen by others as showing off. The Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chof Vav, the Gemara in Sukkah talks there about Achilas Arai, Potam in Asukkah. A person who just has a small snack, like a drink or a piece of fruit, has not got to eat in the Sukkah. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Gamliel, were offered a snack, and they said, "Helum la sukkah, bring it up to the sukkah." Presumably the sukkah was on the roof. Bring it up to the sukkah. So Rav Tzadok, he ate outside the sukkah. So we're asking there, is it not yoharot for then somebody to eat a snack in the sukkah? Because a person is going beyond the letter of the law, maybe it's showing off. So there it says, habolach me'alatzmo machmir. A person who wants to be machmir, gezuntahait, what can be machmir? Veles be'mishum yoharot, but that is not called showing off if you want to have a snack inside the sukkah. Why not? Isn't a person going beyond the letter of the law? With the sukkah, the Maratz here says, people don't know really why you're going into the sukkah. When you're going into the sukkah, you might just be having a meal. And therefore, as people don't know what you're going in there for, you're not going to be perceived like being a showing off. So this is brought down in the halacha, and Arachaim Tov Reish Lamates, lo choshen liyoro. But it's mashma from this Gemara that although it wouldn't be a yoharo here, although it's not called showing off, there may well be other instances which are called showing off. And the Gemara in Bava Kama, Pei Aleph, on the base, it talks about the takana which Yehoshua made, that people should be allowed to walk through other people's fields as a shortcut, provided the crops are not growing at the time that they might be damaged. And so one can walk through pathways in the field. So Rabbi and Rabbi Chia were relying on this decree of Yehoshua, but Rabbi Yehuda ben Kenosa, he kept to the main road. He wouldn't want to walk through the field. So Rabbi asked Rabbi Chia, "Who is that man who wants to show off?" And Rabbi Chia says, "Look, he's my pupil. Don't worry. Everything he does is l'shem shemaim. He's not having it in his kavana to show off." So they said to him afterwards, "Had you not been Rabbi Yehuda ben Kenosa, you would have been put into a nidui." So bringing it down to halacha, what is the balance that we're talking about? So the Shalos Teshuvos Shvus Yaakov writes in his Chelek Beis Siman Mem Dalad that yohara applies only if it's in public. So if you're told not to do something because it's called showing off, you can do it privately. But amongst other people, you don't do it. The Mahashal disagrees. And the Yamshel Shlomo in Bava Kama, he says, even in private, something which is regarded as showing off, even b'chadrei chadorim, you shouldn't do it. Why? It's not then being perceived by others as ostentatious. He says, because it has an effect on yourself. It has an effect on your own personality. That when you are doing something which is going beyond the letter of the law, then you will get yourself a self-righteous feeling, and the expression which we use in halacha isn't necessarily yohara, but michze ke yohara, or mischazi ke yohara. Ke yohara means like a showing off. It's not that we're calling you a showing off. It's simply that by doing it, you will look like a show off, and it might resonate in your personality, giving you this self-righteous feeling. The Mashal also writes that a chumra in public in front of one's Rav would be seen as a big insult to the Rav, and it must not be practiced. So the Sefer Charedim writes, he says, "Uvad shiaseh adova b'tzino." The general thrust of Poskim then is to follow the view of the Shvus Yaakov, that Yorah only applies when it's in public. But in private, okay, gezuntahait. He says, "V'lo nira adova lifnei acherim." It shouldn't be seen in front of others. "Kinere shem bilti yirei Hashem kamohu." You mustn't make it look as though all these people, they're not yirei shemayim. They're not really from guys. I'm the from one round here. You mustn't make out as though you are more from than these others. So, do we distinguish between different mitzvahs and different chumras? Or is there a blanket concept here? So we'll try and have a look at this. The Shulchan Aruch Rav writes in Siman Lamed Beis Sif Ches, "Im hidur la'ezeh mitzvah." So obviously mitzvahs you have to do. There's no question about it. But what if it's a hidur mitzvah? "V'chein im siyog v'geder." And it's a precaution. It's to stop you being nichshal into an aveira. "Shelo yavo lidei isur," that you shouldn't come to do something wrong. He says, that's okay. No problem. Nevertheless, the Mesilas Yesharim writes in Perek Beis, he says, one has to keep, obviously, all the mitzvahs in all details, and one must not be embarrassed. Something about this in Shulchan Aruch Haim, Siman Aleph, Sif Aleph, as you just mentioned. One shouldn't be embarrassed. One shouldn't be worried that people will laugh at you. On the other hand, when it comes to Chumras, he says, "V'kamo chasidim gedolim hinichu mimanhigei chasidusom." There are a number of great chasidim who refrained from doing Chumras, from certain minhagim. Why? Mishum yohara. Because of showing off. They'd rather not do so. And there are numerous examples in Halacha, which we can quote a few of, as to what is yohara and what isn't. We mentioned just before, if somebody wants to spend extra long time over his Shemona Esra, all right, he might have personal reasons why he's doing that, and maybe it's one of those shuls where they do speedo daven and he just can't keep up with them. But if there is a reasonable pace, and he is really, really extra long, then according to the Beis Yosef, that is a yohara. It's showing off, it's making it look like, you know, all you guys, you're not really davening properly. I'm only the one around here who davens properly. Another example we mentioned earlier is if you want to bow more times during the Shemone Esra. So Chazal and Masakin, you bow four times in the Shemone Esra. So if you want to bow more times, the Aruch Chaim in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel says, to do so is a yohara. To do extra above that is showing off. In the same way, taking three steps back, that's fine. But if you want to take more steps back, it looks like you're being a yohara as well. So says Aruch Chaim Kuf Yud Gimel. What if you're very keen at your singing, and when the chazan starts singing, you really want to sing with him. And you like singing with him so much that your voice gets rather loud, so much so that you're virtually drowning the chazan's voice. Well, that is also yohara. Siman kuf chaf dalet sif tes zayin. It's called showing off. One doesn't do it. What if a person wants to stand right next to the rov when he's davening? Is that called showing off? He wants to attract attention. He wants to create an impression on himself. So it's written that that is a yohara, siman tzadi. On the other hand, if a person has a fixed place near to the rov, that's not called yohara. Mishnah Berurah says that's okay, no problem. Now, some people like to hide their tzitzis. Some people like to wear their tzitzis out. Some people wear out very thick tzitzis beyond the knees. So what is the attitude there of Poskim about this? What is the purpose of wearing out one's tzitzis? Is it to create an impression on myself? Is it in order to make sure that I realize and see the tzitzis so I'm reminded the whole day about my mitzvahs? Or is it really to show everybody else, see everybody, look what a frum guy I am? What is the idea behind wearing the tzitzis out? Now the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Ches, Sifkot and Kafvav, is very strong about wearing tzitzis out. Very important. Even though the words are re'isem oso, you shall see them, is really a drosha for daytime and not nighttime, and so on and so forth, the Mishnah Berurah makes it clear that one should always wear one's tzitzis out. However, not everybody shares his view, and a number of views are brought down by the Chavei Das in Chelek Beis Siman Aleph, that according to the Sephardim and also the Mekubalim, it is even better to hide them. And this is brought down, says the Tzitz Eliezer Chelek Chesim and Gimel, it's brought down from the Arizal and it's also brought from the Magen Avraham, that there's a preference for them to be hidden. It can depend, he says, on the sincerity of a person and on the motive of a person. If a person is doing it simply to feel himself that he's reminded the whole time about mitzvahs, that is great. That is praiseworthy. But if a person is simply doing it to show everybody, see everyone, now you can give me a shidduch for my children, that is not the right way forward in the way one dresses. What if a person wants to keep his tefillin on all day long? He feels like it's a hiddur, you know, it's nice. It gives him a feeling of Dveikus Takodosh Baruch Hu. And there are indeed some Gedolim who have been doing this. But the Shut Shemit Halevi, Rav Ozna, he writes in Chelek Te Simen Yud Ches, we do not apply Yohara to a Talmid Chochom. Somebody who is a communal leader, who wants to set examples, he wants to get across a message, for him we don't say Yohara. But for all of us mere mortals, we should refrain from doing such a thing, wearing the tefillin all day long. So he asked about standing for the Shema. Siman Samach Gimel says, yes, if you stand up just for the Shema, that is called showing off. What if you want to stand up the whole day on Yom Kippur? So Poskim say that it's not called Yohara, if you are sincere about it, but the Prima Godim is also of the view that it is showing off. A topical concept perhaps nowadays is if women want to wear a talit in public. Simen Yud Zayin Sif Beis, It is called a yohoro. It is showing off. It is also for a woman to wear a talit in public. All the more so to fill in. Because you might argue, well, you know, mitzvah sasejas man geroma. Although noshim are paturas, women can do mitzvah sasejas man geroma. They listen to shofar. They can sit in a sukkah. It's not that they're showing off when they're doing such things. So you might argue, well, you know, tzitzis is mitzvah sasejas man geroma. And to fill in mitzvah sasejas man geroma. Therefore, you might argue, they might argue that there's nothing wrong with it. It's brought down that this is called yohoro. It's not the done thing. What about wearing a rabbeinu tam tefillin?
Yoro forbidden.
Yoro means it's forbidden. What about if you want to wear a rabbeinu tam tefillin? Now, funnily enough, the Shulchan Aruch is not happy about it. Unless you are muchzak umafursam b'chassidus. If you are a refined person who already practices other things which are chassidus, I don't mean chassidus as in Chassidus Rebbe's. Chassidus means what chesed really means. So if you are well versed in that way, then it's in order to wear a rabbeinu tam tefillin. And the Mishnah Berurah there says it's a yohoro, one is showing off. On the other hand, some shuls you go into, everybody's putting on rabbeinu tam tefillin. And there are some shuls you go into where nobody is wearing rabbeinu tam tefillin. So it would logically follow that if you go into monk's shul, you will not put on rabbeinu tam tefillin because that's showing off, because nobody there is putting on tefillin. But if you go into Reb Chunas, there wouldn't be a problem because so many people are putting on rabbeinu tam tefillin. So the Chidor writes that nowadays there's no problem. It's so widespread for people to wear rabbeinu tam tefillin. In fact, in Chabad, the Bar Mitzvah boy automatically gets two pairs of tefillin and starts straight away wearing rabbeinu tam. So if it's so widespread, that can't be called the yohoro. That is not called showing off. There's a Gemara in Brachos Daf Samach which talks about if a person goes into the Beis HaKisei, and before he goes in to the toilet, he says to angels, he says, I can't bring you in with me. Please wait outside. I'll be back soon. So the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Gimel, Sif Gimel, says we don't do this nowadays. Why not? Because who has the right and arrogance to say, oh, angels are accompanying me the whole time? That's really arrogance. That's yohoro. Therefore, a person doesn't do this anymore. We're not like the Yirei Shemayim of old, says the Mishnah Berurah. And therefore, saying it is like showing off. So you might ask the question, what about on Friday night? It says that two angels accompany you home after you said Vayechulu, and when you get home and you sing Shalom Aleichem, you're saying it's Shalom Aleichem to these angels who are praising you for having the nice table laid for Shabbos. So isn't that a yohoro, that you're assuming that you've been accompanied by angels? There it's different. Tzitz Eliezer Chelek Tesvov, Simon Yudalit, says the malachim who accompany you home from shul are the malachim of Eidus. They are there to testify that you're doing things properly. They're not there to actually look after you. And therefore, that is not a yohoro to sing Shalom Aleichem on Friday night. What if a person says, I'm not going to the doctor. Hashem looks after me. I don't have to worry about medical treatments. That is called yohoro. Birka Yosef in Shin Lamed Vov says a person is not allowed to say, I won't go to the doctor because Hashem won't look after me. Because Hashem will look after me. Sorry. What if you want to wear your talis cotton over your shirt? Now obviously if you go to Stamford Hill, most people wear talis cotton over their shirt. So it's a widespread custom. But in places where you don't do such a thing, what is the din? So Tzitzieleza Chelek Tes Simon Gimel says it's a yohoro in a place where you find nobody else doing such a thing. Mahari Brunner writes about this in Sadivov, and he says it goes according to the custom of the place. If you're in a place where the custom is not to wear your talis cotton over your shirt, then don't. Once my great aunt, who was very yekish, was telling off her great grandson, who was very Hasidish, but it wasn't about wearing his talis cotton over his shirt. She said to him, you're entitled, you're welcome to wear your talis cotton over your shirt, but you have to make sure it looks clean. That's when the Yekas and the Hasidim are together in the same family. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his Tshuvas, Yeradeh Chelek Aleph, Simon Samach Beis, he was asked about blended whiskey. Whiskey which is not mixed with wine or anything, but it's a number of whiskeys put together, and therefore he was a bit worried for himself as to whether he should drink such a thing. And he was asked, can one drink blended whiskey? So he answered, he said, I do allow blended whiskey. And in public, when I drink a l'chaim with somebody, I drink a blended whiskey. I want to give a bracha to somebody. But I only do that so that it's not michsi ki yohara. I don't want to look like a show-off because it's a chumrah on mine. And therefore, at home, I will not drink blended whiskey. I only drink the best Scottish single malt whiskey. And that was his approach. If I'm in public, I'm not going to... And this is Reb Moshe Feinstein, a godel hadar, a pe'er hadar. He's entitled to do things which are called yara in his status as Talmid Chacham. But he would make sure that he would not do anything which was michsi ki yara. So Rabbi Avadya Yosef writes that if a person genuinely feels that one was nichshol, that one stumbled and one committed an avera, and therefore one makes one's own gedorim and precautions, that is praiseworthy. There's no problem of yohara there. And he even quotes Reb Chaim Volozhin, who brings an opinion from the Gra, Shebizman Hazeh Lo Shayach Yohara, that maybe nowadays there isn't such a thing as yohara. I've heard this from a Hasidic Rebbe, that in Yerida Sadoros, a person has to try, and there's so many temptations outside our doors, that we have to try extra vigilance to make sure that we're keeping within the fold. And for that, there is this opinion that you shouldn't worry about yara, particularly if your motive is not to show off, but it's just genuine that you want to achieve tamimus yourself. So Rav Dessler writes in his Michtam Melio Chelek Beis that yara is not really translated as showing off. Yara is not really translated as gaiva, as arrogance. Yara is an issue not just from others' perception, but how it affects you. Remember, the Maharshal said that even when you're in private, you shouldn't do some of these chumras. Why? Because it might give you this feeling of arrogance and haughtiness and pride, which is not healthy for your neshama. And therefore, one should refrain from it, even in hidden. So it's fine if it boosts your ego, it gives you self-confidence, but not if it gives you gaiva. We referred earlier to Rav Mordechai Sasson, who in Baghdad wrote the Sefer Dovah Be'itzo, and he asked this question about giving tzedakah publicly, that on the one hand, when I give tzedakah publicly, it'll encourage other people to give tzedakah. On the other hand, if I give tzedakah publicly and I get my name imprinted on a plaque on the wall, it can give me gaiva, which is harmful. And then maybe I should give my tzedakah privately. So he asks this question in regard to the Hanukkah light. It's all right, it's a few weeks since Hanukkah, but there's a lesson he draws from it which applies for the whole year round. In the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah, it says, mitzvah l'anich ha-pesach beso. You put it outside your front door, or on the street, according to Tosfos. And that is the ikar mitzvah. But then it says, uv'shas ha-sakona, the Ramo brings, at times of danger, manich al shulchono v'dayo. You put it on your kitchen table, and that is enough. So you can perform the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah just by having the light on your kitchen table, and you're fulfilling the mitzvah. So Rav Mordechai Sasson brings an amazing chiddush here. He says, when we read these words of Ashas HaSakona Manichin Al Shulchan Avedayo, don't just translate that as times of danger when somebody might throw a brick through your window, there are anti-Semites around, you're worried about what the goyim will do. That's not b'shas ha-sakona. He says, shas ha-sakona is when your neshoma is in danger. When your gaiva is coming about. That is a sakona for you, for your spiritual welfare. B'shas ha-sakona, at the time of your spiritual danger, manicha al shulchano, don't show your mitzvah off to other people outside. Manicha al shulchano, leave it on your kitchen table, the dayo, and that is good enough. And that is the lesson which he applies then to all chumras. Do it inside. Hatznei lechesim Hashem Elokecho. Or as David HaMelech says in Tehillim Kuf Aleph, Es haleich besom levovi bekerev beisi. In order to achieve tamimus, in order to achieve perfection of my heart, I will do it bekerev beisi, inside my own house. And that way, I will not be perceived as a show-off. That way, I will still achieve dveikus with our Kodesh Baruch Hu. But that way, I won't be going out of my way to create impressions on others on the amount that I spend on my esrog. Thank you.